Welcome, scary basement heads, to this very special and admittedly not that scary presentation of the Pokemon Games Club. This is episode one of a very special podcast we're doing over at the Super NPC Radio Patreon, where we will play through the entirety of the very first Pokemon game, Red, Blue, and Yellow. Yes, three games are also one game. We're playing through the entirety of the game, documenting our strategies, our Pokemon teams, our enemies, our rivals. We're going through it all. If you like this episode, this is just the very first episode. If you like this episode and want to hear more, head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/supernpcradio. When you subscribe at the $10 DJ Toad tier, you will get a weekly episode where me, Jeremy Schmidt of Video Games A Comedy Show, Connor McCabe of Call Me By Your Game, and Nick and Tyler of The Reactivators, as well as July Diaz of Inside Video Games and Gaming Classic with July Diaz, we'll be discussing our Pokemon journeys. Enjoy the podcast and see you soon over at patreon.com/supernpcradio. Goodbye.
To the Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow Games Club. Wow, here we are, starting our very own journeys into the Pokemon world here at Super NPC Radio. If you're listening right now, then chances are you're a patron of ours at the $10 DJ Toad tier, and to you I say thank you very much for your support. I truly couldn't do this without you. Your support means the world. It allows us to do bigger and better things all the time, every season here at Super NPC Radio, so thank you. And if you're listening in the future on a free feed or in a free, or as if this were released hypothetically as sort of a free episode on other podcast feeds, thank you for listening as well. If you're interested in finding out what we're doing here at Super NPC Radio at the present, you can follow us on social media at Super NPC Radio on both Twitter and Instagram. And also, if you like us, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/supernpcradio, where you're going to find not only a games club at all times, but a ton of bonus podcast content from the wonderful shows and the makers here at our network. I am one of your hosts of this episode, Connor, a youngster McCabe. I'm a youngster Pokemon trainer is how I'm framing myself, but I could not do it alone. And heck, I never would want to. I'm also here with Q-ball trainer Jeremy Schmidt.
I choose you, Patreon.
Hey, I already like it, pal. I already like it.
Hello, Connor. Thanks for having me.
You are so gosh darn welcome. I also want to welcome a swimmer, July Diaz, is here as well.
Hey, the water's fine. Come on in, please. Oh, take a dip.
We got a charmer in the group, July. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We also have waiting in the wings. Well, why isn't it bird keeper Nick Costanza?
Hello. Squawk, squawk.
That's my bird guy right there. Nick, how you doing, pal?
Oh, I'm so good. I can't wait to talk about freaking Pokemon.
I'm so excited, and I'm so excited to have you here. We are also joined by cool trainer Michael McCaller.
Yeah, I'm the kind of trainer who smokes cigarettes.
Ooh, yeah. Bet you didn't. That stench you smell on that cool trainer's breath? Yeah, it's Marlboro's. McCaller, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, pal?
I'm golden.
I didn't know if I was going to say pal or buddy. I was like, he just called me pal. I got to do something different. And it came out like pallied.
Or I almost heard like pad or pud. And I like pad.
Pad. I think pad is cool.
Pad's pretty good.
Pad is, it's fantastic. And last but not least, we are also joined by bug catcher Tyler Schnupp.
Hi, pud.
Oh, let's keep that going for all 14 episodes. Tyler, how you doing, pal?
Oh, great to be here with my Weedle.
Oh, it sounded like a computer inserted that because you didn't have an answer, but I love Weedle. It. Folks, we are here today to begin our over 3 month long journey playing through the original Pokemon games released for Generation 1 in the U.S. And internationally, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. We're going to be covering these in a book club style format, with each episode covering certain chapters of the game. And this one is going to cover the least amount in the game that we'll talk about. We're going to be doing some table setting on what these games are, Pokemania in general, how it took off, and also get into the beginning of our journeys before we leave for Pallet Town today. And first and foremost, Jeremy Schmidt, the Poke Waves, the airwaves out there are telling me that Mr. Man's got a segment for us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, many of us remember from the popularized anime of the late 90s and early 2000s, they used to have a segment called "Who's That Pokemon?" So we're gonna be adopting that segment here on our show. Ideally, we'd be pulling from like maybe Pokemon we met in our journey. Yes. But since this is the first episode, I'm just gonna pull a random one out of a hat here. And I'll be using in-game Pokemon descriptions.
Oh, glorious!
And letting you guess from those. Okay, are we ready for our first?
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we like buzz in for our answers, or how are you doing this?
I figure we could just kind of like, oh, that's a good question. Yeah, let's buzz in.
Well, okay. It makes sense.
Okay, McCaller.
Is there any prizes? We'll be keeping track of points.
Yeah, I was thinking about prizes, and I realized that's 15 prizes for 15 episodes of the show. Probably no prizes, but other than you being the ultimate Poke, I guess we could crown a Poke champion at the end.
I like that.
Of those who get it the most right.
Okay.
And yeah. So and I guess how we'll call on like the order of who got it first is the way to buzz in is to put it in the chat. So put the name of the Pokemon in the chat. So whoever.
Ooh, that's good.
Because
wait,
I know that.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah. So it's like you have to kind of be quick that's on fair. The draw there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good. Okay. I mean, I'm fine with it, but I'm just saying that's an easy solution here. If we buzz in with our own names, that's like how the Pokemon do. You know, they say their own name.
That's true. But if everyone's just saying their own name at the same time, how do I know?
What if you type your own name in the chat?
I guess I could do like Harold suggestion rules where it's like just the one I heard first.
And because, you know, this can does matter so
what that
much
is?
On who the winner is, I think we should continue to spend a lot of time on figuring out the rules. We'll put it
on the chat. Nick, I like your suggestion, and you feel free to say your own name out loud anyway, but it'll be the chat. Okay.
Okay, sorry. Because yeah. I got lost in the woods here.
Yes.
In the forest, if you will, the Viridian forest. Mm-hmm. We're typing the Pokemon's name in the chat that we think it is.
Yes, the Pokemon's name in the chat. Okay.
I have no questions.
Okay, great. A mild-mannered Pokemon that does not like to fight. Beware its small horns. Secrete venom.
I got this.
Okay, hold on.
This is fun for the listeners at home.
Yeah, this is Connor definitely won. Some people got it very, very wrong, but some people not too bad. But the correct answer is Connor. Yes, you did guess it. It is Nidoran. Now, bonus points if you can guess the gender.
I guessed female.
That's correct. The female Nidoran. And even triple bonus points if you can guess. From what description does that game come from?
I'll say Pokemon Yellow.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to use the red blue ones because it gave away too much of the Pokemon. Yeah. I'll be specifically trying to find the description that like doesn't give as many details.
Any points for the cool name I accidentally gave it, which was Nidorad?
Nidorad is pretty good. Pretty sick.
Pretty cool.
And Tyler, I think I want to nickname mine that now that I see.
Yeah.
It also is so funny that like Nick Costanza put Nidorad, but like really that's Tyler because several of us are sharing Zoom accounts. So
yeah,
who's to say who really won that section?
Jeremy, thank you for that. That was fun.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
That was great.
There'll be a new one every episode. I imagine they'll get harder as time goes on and there's more of the Pokédex.
I hope they do.
We filled out.
They do get harder.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, thank you for leading us into that. That reminds me, you know, as you're getting us into, you know, a fun segment, like just to say that we're not only going to be doing this on the network, doing the Games Club series that comes out every Friday for you starting on April 21st through, I think, July 21st, something like that. It's nuts. We are going to be doing supplementary content on the network all year. Some of that's going to live on Super NPCs. We're going to be doing a Pokemon anime watch party with the Discord. We're going to be covering the Pokemon the first movie. Tyler, I believe have we solidified this in a Bonk Boys episode?
Yeah, we have.
Oh, great. Just making sure, because I couldn't remember if we had given the full thumbs up to that. I knew we were doing it in some way. So
we are. Yeah. Well, I'm just waiting on that, on a good time for it.
Killer. So anyway, we're going to be doing a lot of Pokemon stuff, just like we did a lot of Super Mario 64 stuff in the previous quarter. What I want to do first, folks, is get into our personal histories with the Pokemon series in general. So I want that one to be a little more brief, but also these games and sort of how we discovered them and our histories with the original series, depending on what that looks like for everybody. I will kick us off. Pokemon, for me, it's been one of those things that's like come and gone throughout my life. I was someone who was introduced in this, you know, a lot. I think every one of us on this Zoom was pretty much in that perfect age range for when the series debuted back in the, you know, the US in 1998. And for me, I discovered it through my friend who gets mentioned on every podcast, Eddie Martin. And the way I discovered this was we were at our parents used to sing in the same choir at this church we went to growing up in Modesto. And some of the kids would get brought to choir practice like after school and we would have nothing to do. So we'd play with each other. And Eddie asked me if I wanted to play Pokemon. Now, he didn't mean the game, which I didn't know what it was at the time. He meant role play Pokemon. Are there any Pokemon role players out there between the five of you as well?
First describe it, then I'll tell you for sure.
And then you'll admit to it. Yeah. So basically what we did was we like ran around this gym at this church.
Yes, I did it.
Playing Pokemon. July's on board. And I have a specific memory of Eddie being like, all right, I'll be the trainer, you be Pidgeotto. And we started running around and playing, and I was like, oh, let's go over here. And he said, no, you can't say anything. You just have to say your name. Which truly wasn't him negging me or trying to like make me feel bad. It was just living by the rules of the game, because Pokemon just say their name, obviously, with a few exceptions. So that's how I discovered it. Like, absolutely fell in love with the series. It was like how we ended up sort of solidifying our friendship. I love the games, the cards. I started with Pokemon Red. I remember going to Bonanza Books and Comics with my mom as a kid and picking up the little red box with Charizard on the cover. And we're probably going to get many more anecdotes as we go along in the series. But as far as the series goes for me, I ended up following that up playing Generation 2. I got Pokemon Silver. That's my personal favorite game in the series. And then I fell off. It became not cool when I was that age. And then I got back in at Diamond and Pearl, fell off again, got back in at X and Y when it was brought to the 3DS, fell off, got back in at Sword and Shield. Didn't like that game at all, so I stopped playing it. And now it's something that I'll mostly play the retro games or interact with the supplementary stuff like Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Stadium. Yeah, I mean, I could talk about my personal history with it for a while and how I got into it, but now it's mostly just like a nostalgia trip every few years. And I've really made a habit out of making people play this with me every so often. In high school, this is the last big anecdote I'll share before we move on to somebody else. But in high school, at the end of senior year, I got, I think, like 16 people in my senior class to all replay their old copies of Pokemon and do a Pokemon tournament at the end of it by bringing our Pokemon to Pokemon Stadium. And while we never ended up doing the tournament, I did have like 16, 18-year-old boys over to my house where we all started our journeys together. And I just loved doing that sort of thing. So I'm honestly really excited that we're all doing this today because it's bringing back a lot of fun memories. That's it for me. A lot of these anecdotes are going to keep coming up. I have so much to share throughout the next few months. But Jeremy, what's your history with the series and how did you come to play these original games? And did you ever?
Yeah. I mean, I think like a lot of people in a lot of kids in the late 90s, like Pokemon kind of came out and it was like a huge obsession for me. So I actually started to put a timeline together of like what I was, you know, and for kind of myself and my own like internal history of like, because in my mind, it felt like I was like obsessed with Pokemon for 5 years straight and just collecting everything nonstop for it. Turns out that's not the case. So Pokemon is released in the US in September of 1998. I probably don't get it till that Christmas. I am so hardcore obsessed with Pokemon Gen 1. I'm collecting the cards. I am watching the anime. I am, you know.
You have toys?
I have the McDonald's toys. Thank you. Yeah, that was the other. That was the other big part of it. And basically, like, you know, trading with my friends. Thank you for bringing up church, Connor, because I also have a little church anecdote.
You're welcome. I don't get thanked for that enough.
I was 11 years old at youth group and wearing JNCO jeans, which were hot at the time. And I have this very vivid memory of me, like, for whatever reason, bringing my entire collection of Pokemon cards, like a stack in my pocket.
Oh my,
like in
goodness.
My JNCO pocket, which fit, but then I was like, and I don't know why I did that. I guess I was just hoping someone would ask me if I had Pokemon cards or something.
Do I have them?
Yeah. I had no friends at the time because I had just moved to Texas from California. I was at this new church and I remember I was like running to catch a football and they spilled out of my jeans and they went all over the auditorium floor. And as I'm scrambling to pick up all these Pokemon cards, all these girls are just watching me do this. And I
they're all fanning themselves because it's so hot.
Yeah, I would have been less embarrassed if they all saw my penis. That's how this story ends. I kind of would have rather them all just see me butt-ass naked as opposed to spilling an entire collection of Pokemon cards on the floor. Traumatic memory that I'll never forget. I'm basically out of Pokemon. So I'm done with Pokemon by the time the first movie hits theaters.
Whoa.
That
was a
1 year. That is all of my Pokemon fandom, like at its complete heights. I saw the movie and was excited to see it, but I remember thinking that I wasn't as into it anymore when the first movie came out, and I never got Silver and Gold on Game Boy.
The reason you got out of it was because you were so attracted to women.
No, by the end of that first year of playing Pokemon, I had all 151. I was done with the game. And like,
I see.
And I even remember being on the internet looking at screenshots of the sprites that were going to come out for Silver and Gold, feverishly, you know, wanting them so much. And then but that game comes out in late 99 in the US and I'm out.
I heard your first girlfriend said it was a deal breaker and to give up on the Pokemon.
Yeah. I did have my first girlfriend during that year at some point, but I if I had to guess, she was not at church that day that they all spilled out of my pants.
So. Misty doesn't count. Misty doesn't count.
Okay, does Officer Jenny?
Yes. Oh, that's my dream girl. I can't wait to talk about the anime.
ACAB does not include
Miss Jenny.
Officer Jenny.
Officer Jenny is the sexiest voice of any character in fiction.
Oh my god.
just the first voice actor.
That's okay. I guess I could get behind
that. I can't wait to figure out why that clarification happened. Jeremy, was that it for personal history? Okay. And you've recently even played a few of the games. Like you played all the way through Scarlet and Violet. You got into Arceus.
I played through Sword and Shield, Arceus, Scarlet and Violet, and played through X and Y. I feel like Pokemon kind of comes in like these, like you said, ripple effects of just like, you know, every like four generations or so, I'll like really get into one.
Yeah.
You know, they've been put, I guess they've always kind of put them out around the holidays, which is actually really smart because I'm usually just like boredly playing a game around the holidays, and it's usually a Pokemon now. So like I don't even really count Sword and Shield or like Scarlet and Violet as some of my favorite mm-hmm. Pokemon experiences. They just were experiences I had. Gotcha. But and we'll get into that as we go, but like my mileage does vary with these games. Like some of them I'm a huge fan of, some of them I just could care less. So
I feel similarly. July, how about you? What's your history with the series and how'd you get into these first games?
Sure. I found out about the series through the anime first, I think.
Ooh.
And I was a huge fan of it. Just loved tuning in every week and watching my buds Ty, Matt, Sora, Izzy, Mimi, Joe, and TK hang out.
Wait, are these people...
Wait, Sora?
Is that a Kingdom
Those your
Hearts
real
reference?
Friends?
Are these your real
friends? Yes, these were my real friends.
Okay. Riku, Cloud.
No. Waka. Ty, Matt, Sora, Izzy, Mimi, Joe, and TK.
Are these Yu-Gi-Oh people?
And we would sort of hang out and, we eventually found these sort of... digital monsters of sorts.
Right, no, yeah. This is Digimon. That's
okay,
what this is.
July.
Okay.
We gotta do a Digimon pod. I don't think there are any out there.
That's the thing is like, I'm such a Pokemon loyalist that like when Digimon came out, I was like offended on its behalf. I was like, how dare you?
It's freak stuff.
Yeah. You don't like that their monsters all end with Mon, Agumon, Gabumon, Biomon,
Angelmon.
Makes it really easy to remember all their names.
Mm-hmm. So July, now, as you were.
Yeah, so the anime got me into it. I think it was a trading card game actually that I sort of started to see that first, the artwork on those, and that kind of intrigued me, and I was like, what is this dark magician? You know what I mean?
July's like the Joker, just we're getting all different backstories.
Oh, right, yeah. Do you want to know how I got this Squirtle?
I did see that Fat Pikachu trading card first. I think that was the first thing I saw, and I started collecting those, and I still have like a binder full of all the Pokemon cards I've collected around Ooh. That. The first 151 Pokemon era. That was like, I was all in. And then I believe I got Pokemon Red. And then I got Silver. And Silver was like my favorite game. And I think I kind of fell off for a long time, even though I knew friends of mine, like Sora and TK and whatnot.
Goofy.
Who would Goofy. Maleficent, Pete.
July, can I ask you a question about the cards? Did you
I'm
ever
not
have
done.
A
not done? I'm
oh,
not
okay,
done.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Did you ever have a Charizard?
Yeah, I had
that. That was my white whale. I never could find one.
Well, red dragon, not white whale. So I had a Charizard.
White dragon is actually Yu-Gi-Oh. Blue
yeah, it's
eyes,
Yu-Gi-Oh.
White dragon.
It's blue eyes, white dragon.
Oh.
Who's actually, I think that's the sexiest anime voice for me.
Okay. Okay, I make the difference.
And I don't think I got back into it until maybe Soul Silver, because I had such nostalgia for that kind of brought me back in. And then I went backward. I was all in on that. I started scouring some... message boards, because I think in that game and maybe the previous like DS era games, you're able to connect online and use like Nintendo codes to trade and also do like world trades and that kind of stuff. So I got really into like the shiny, finding all the shiny Pokemon, and then like all these specific event legendary Pokemon, like your Jirachis and whatnot. After that, I was all in again, and then I kind of fell off again into like Sun and Moon. But then I skipped Ultra Sun and Moon. I always like do every generation now. Like I'll skip a generation and I'll come back in. I love these guys. I saw the first movie opening night. I got a Mewtwo trading card. Trading card.
Oh yeah, it was Mew. It was like the ancient
Mew. That thing goes for a lot of money. I looked it up on Reactivators.
I still got that in my binder too. Yeah.
Can I have it?
Sure.
I'll trade you for your binder.
What? Trade what?
One of these.
Oh, and for the listener, Jeremy held up a Digimon toy.
May as well have with what he actually did. Nick Costanza, let's hear from you, pal.
Yes, I have a storied history with this franchise. In a way, it's sort of directly succeeds my Mario story with I had played Super Mario World, Mario 64. It was like that was a gaming revelation. And then Pokemon was too. I'm trying to think about the history of it because I think I probably learned about Pokemon through the anime, much like July. I remember going to a babysitter's house in kindergarten. And her kids would watch it and I would kind of watch it too. I have a vivid memory of the episode where Pikachu stops Electabuzz and Scissor from fighting by spraying ketchup in their eyes, which I would tell people for years after and no one believed me that episode existed. And then I know that I went as Pikachu for Halloween one year.
Oh yeah.
I guess I did do my own little Pokemon role playing.
Right. I think you're confusing that with a banana. I think you were in a banana costume, Nick.
No, that was a couple years later.
Okay.
My friend Jack had Pokemon Red on his Game Boy and he had like a handheld Pokedex toy. And you could press buttons on it and would tell you all the different Pokemon. I thought that was so cool. Pokemon Yellow was the game that I got first. And it was something I didn't know I wanted until I got it. I distinctly remember opening the package. My mom had gone to Trader Joe's. She'd gone to Toys R Us.
Trader Joe's has really fallen off.
Right. You're thinking of bananas, Nick.
She went to Trader Joe's and she put some bananas in my hand. And I said, "This is yellow like Pikachu." She got the Toys R Us Game Boy Color bundle that was the Pikachu Game Boy.
Oh.
And so this is a yellow on the front, blue on the back, and then around the red light indicator. It's a Pokeball, but it also has I think Pikachu and Togepi on it, which I was like, Togepi? I don't know what this thing is. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, pretty sick. So I opened that. I had that game, and I mentioned before this was for preparation to a trip to Japan where my uncle was marrying my aunt. And I looked up the timeline. That was August 28th, 1999, when they got married, which was 2 days after my 6th birthday.
Whoa.
So I think I got that Game Boy for my birthday. And we went to that trip. I played it. We'll talk more about my actual history with the game because I have like every part of this game I have a memory for.
Dude, yes.
I remember it being really challenging but loving it. And then for me, where my Pokemon fandom really kicked off was the next games. It was Gold and Silver, where opening Pokemon Gold on Christmas morning, that was the best Christmas gift I ever got in my life. It was like exactly what I wanted, and all I wanted to do.
And you once got a car with the big bow on it for Christmas.
A Lamborghini.
Yeah. The best gift I ever got was the love of my friends and family during the holiday season.
The one Jeremy's gift I Oliver got was Twist, to be clear.
Yeah, the one gift I got was Scrooge telling me I can go see my family for Christmas.
Yeah, guys, you know what? You know what Oliver Twist's favorite my Christmas boss gift is? You know what Oliver Twist's favorite gift is for Christmas?
What?
Some more.
Nice.
S'mores.
Nick, do you keep up with the series now?
No. I got a couple other pieces of my history. One is the movie, just because other people have mentioned it. I did watch that in the theater. I loved it. And then one time I remember making my parents watch it for a family movie night, and it was the first time I ever remember being embarrassed by showing someone something. A feeling not fully replicated until I tried to show my mom Mike Birbiglia's Don't Think Twice.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
yes.
God, Nick.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question, and this is for the Nick heads out there. You mentioned your uncle. It was your uncle's wedding. Yeah. We got to know, is this the insurrectionist uncle?
No.
Oh, okay. Good. No. It would have been crazy, though, right?
It would have been crazy. I'll shout out this uncle, David Shull. He's a biology professor at Western Washington University.
Ooh.
He married my aunt Mieko, who was from Japan. And they got married in Japan, and then they had a wedding reception in my backyard, my childhood home, which is on a big hill. Wow. So the last couple things of my Pokemon history are that.
Oh, that's very nice.
Sorry, no. Nice. You know what? You guys can cut that. Actually,
done. Done. I'll cut it.
In 2003, the third generation came out, the Game Boy Advance generation, Ruby, Sapphire, and eventually Emerald. Jack and I still played those. I have another memory of being in Las Vegas, staying at the Excalibur Hotel and playing those games together. Then I kind of dropped off. There was a couple years where I was Pokemon free until my friend David Brinkman came up to me in middle school. And
I love going to the clinic and being told I'm Pokemon free.
Yeah. It's hard to test for, but
sometimes you get false negatives too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I tested positive wanting to play Pokemon.
Yeah. Pearl. Yeah. Symptoms include no dates.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the cure is to take antidote.
Good. McCullers learning.
Yeah. McCullers
wow,
back,
he's
baby.
Learning.
So you're with David.
And he says, hey, have you heard about
Company.
This new Pokemon game? And I had not heard about Pearl or Diamond. That was how disconnected I was. And this guy was a kind of a jock. So it's like, does jocks care about Pokemon? But I bought it and I played Pokemon Pearl in Kenya, where I went with my mom for a trip in middle school.
Wow. That's where the insurrectionist got married.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I dropped off again until Soul Silver and Heart Gold. I played those because they were just like, I had a DS and I loved those games so much, like everybody else, that I had to get them. And then I would play the games intermittently, the Pokemon Stadium ones, the peripherals, and I got X and Y and the remake of Ruby and Sapphire, whichever one that was. That was like the last Pokemon game I liked, where they added stuff to the world. They added an extended ending. And then the rest of the time, I've just been playing them less and less. I did beat Sword and Shield reluctantly, but I skipped Scarlet and Violet because I really do not like the direction this franchise has taken.
Cool. Dude, thank you so much for sharing. I love how extensive that was. What do you still have your copy of the Ruby and Sapphire remakes? And if so, which one?
It was Omega Ruby.
Yeah,
Nick,
that's the one I got too.
I think maybe someday we don't have to do this for a games club, but I'd love an excuse to play through those because I have Sapphire and barely touched it. So just throwing it out there, putting a pin in that. Yes. Tyler Schnupp.
Yes.
I believe it's your turn, my guy.
Mm-hmm. Picture me, a child of divorce. I first learned about Pokemon through a VHS. There was a VHS sent to my house in Lakewood, my mom's house. Sorry, child of divorce.
That was close.
The packaging said, please dispose after watching.
Yes, yeah. if you live with only your mother. They sent it to my mom's house. It is a VHS that explains all of Pokemon. It explained, this is before anything had come out. So it was before, it explains the anime. It explains the card game. It explains the,
is there like a teacher figure in this?
Yeah,
this,
you told me it's like a naked old man.
No. Connor.
It's shot handheld and he addresses a boy named Tyler. Yeah.
Yeah. He said he's this guy Nick's uncle.
He said on January 6, 2021, you're going to remember this face. Connor,
way back then.
Yeah, he did.
I've never seen Tyler lose it.
I'm glad I got to bring up Nick's insurrectionist uncle into this episode. I'm sorry.
Wow, it's okay.
We've all got one, Nick. You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. Connor, who you're thinking of is...
One out of every six people is an insurrectionist.
One out of six.
That's not all I'm going to say.
Makes you think. Remember that old Chris Rock bit where he was like, everybody's got an insurrectionist uncle. You're thinking about him right now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Connor, who you're thinking of is Ash's Aunt Hillary. That is who narrates most of this VHS.
Okay.
His like fake aunt. She goes, I'm his Aunt Hillary. I'm so proud of my nephew, Ash. And then at the beginning of this video, she mispronounces Pokemon. She says, oh, he's a Pokemon trainer. And later in the VHS, she says Pokemon correctly. So they clearly were like, it's actually Pokemon, but they didn't go back and recorrect. They didn't do another take. It's very funny. You can find YouTube videos of this.
Wow.
And before I got the game, this I just remembered as we were doing the pod, the KFC had plushies. They had, do you remember this? This is like, I feel like this is right when the games came out or right before. And I got a Dratini.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know what the hell this thing is, but I love it. I had the Dratini. And then famously, my mom made me keep my Game Boy at her house. And
that doesn't make sense. It's portable.
That's what I'm saying. Right. My mom still does that shit with my 13-year-old. I have a 13-year-old brother. She still does that shit with him.
Married?
Unfortunately, not Michael.
I felt bad as I was asking it.
So she still does this. She makes him keep his DS there. Anyways, but she did that. My dad got me blue version because this came out in September, which is around my damn birthday. Already had a Game Boy. This guy got me a blue version. I had to sit there a whole weekend with my dad being like, thank you so much for this present. I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was home at my mom's house playing this on the Game Boy.
I bet you like read that manual 1,000 times that weekend.
I certainly did. I was going nuts with that thing. I was like, can you imagine what this is going to be like? Probably annoying. There you go. Look at that thing.
That's Whoa, cool. It's cool that you have that.
Mm-hmm.
Now Connor set it on fire on the podcast, yes. Like we discussed.
Fair's fair. We don't have that.
The rules.
Anything we don't have as a collective, we burn.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got real into that. It was everybody at school had it. Everybody played it at school. I was, you know, beat it pretty quick, beat yellow version, got that, I think, for Christmas, which I was kind of disappointed, was like, oh, it's the same game. I remember being kind of disappointed. Was into it up until the movie. Watched the movie, did all that, and then for whatever reason I was out after that as well, similar to Jeremy, and didn't get back into it till I was 25 and my mom got two copies. She got Sun and Moon. She said, for my little brother, who was very young at the time. And she goes, I accidentally got an extra copy. Can you believe that? Because she knew I had a 3DS. And I was like, okay, I see what's happening here. She wants me to she wants me to play with my little brother. Mm-hmm. And little did she know that I would be hooked, and I completed the Pokédex. I've played every Pokemon game that's come out since. So,
did she make you keep your 3DS at her house?
Unfortunately, yes.
Wow, and it kind of makes me upset to know that that Sun and Moon game is actually at this point what, like 6 or 7 years old now.
Yeah.
Like, close, I remember when that came out. Like, I remember talking with Matt Apodaca at UCB Franklin about Sun and Moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to feel old? It's an old game.
Okay.
Tyler.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing. That was great. I know we're going to have a lot more from you. It's also, even just hearing from you, I'm like, wow, we have like a really interesting swath of like different Pokemon experiences through our lifetime. Like, you're a. Played the first, got back in late, and now are
in. Yeah. And then here's the other thing. I mean, I was full on in. I believe I told you I had the Pokemon CD that you can also hear on YouTube, where it's an insane, these just crazy songs.
To be a master.
To be the number two, letter B, a master.
You said that was Pokemon CD?
Yeah.
Pokemon CD is nuts?
Okay.
Hey, just right. So you know, everyone laughed at that if they edited it out.
Wanna feel old? CD.
No. Yeah,
CD
true.
Is old.
That's good.
Yeah, that's true.
CD's old. But I sent you some tracks, and they're pretty. If anybody wants to go back and listen to that, it's completely nuts.
I saved the bit, Nick, with my terrible joke. They can't cut it out now.
It wasn't. It was never ruined. It was great.
Well, I think we have the most interesting of Pokemon stories yet to come, perhaps.
After this break.
Well, no, we're not taking a break, but we are going to hit to Michael McCullough.
Yes, hey. Exactly what I was referencing.
Yeah, McCullough, sorry you. Do you go ahead, sorry. Do you have a history with the Pokemon series? And if so, what?
No history at all.
Yeah.
You guys are all nostalgic little cuties. You got your little stories. Not me. I've my little sister got the yellow Pikachu Game Boy. I played it for maybe 10 minutes. I developed a very specific tick that carried over to this playthrough of this game. But haven't touched a Pokemon game. Bought a couple of them. I bought, I think, X, and I bought Arceus, and tried to get into it. Can't do it. Couldn't get over it. I did have a job for a long time writing for a website that was kind of about like video games and like that kind of shit for like 12 to 14 year olds. So I wrote about Pokemon a lot, but it was all a facade. It was all research and finding specifics that didn't work. So
you were the New York Times writing about the Mario movie.
Very much so, yeah. I gave it
no
bad
fucking
scores.
Clue what any of this means.
My editor kept writing, like, I remember when like Sun and Moon got announced, I wrote an article about how it was like one of the signs of the apocalypse and wrote a horrifying article about it, and then had like a very funny like headline of something like the Pokemon look into the wind and what they saw chilled their bones. Sun and Moon announced, and then my editor changed it to Honen confirmed or something, like one of the fucking SEO bullshit Pokemon titles.
It's wow.
But yeah, I'm here to be kind of like a voice of reason. I don't have nostalgia. I don't have rose colored glasses. I'm here to tell you what this game is and is not.
We need that. We need that.
Right. I'm so excited to hear that, because there's going to be so much stuff that you bump up against in this game that are going to be fun revelations. And then also, wait, why is this thing doing not what it says it should do?
Right.
Because the programming and the original three games is a mess. But it leads to a lot of like fun and fascination. So McCullough, that's really cool.
Yeah. I'm going to be fresh eyes. I got fresh eyes for you.
Yeah, it's good, because nostalgia can be a sickness sometimes.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. One might argue we've developed an entire network out of a sickness.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Well, so now that we've got all of our personal sort of like histories with the game and series out of the way, we're going to do some very brief table setting on just the development of this series, because I think everybody knows what it is. But I want to just talk briefly about what it is, and then we'll finally touch on our Pallet Town experiences in the actual games we're playing, so that we can move on we'll close this one out. And then listeners, next Friday, you'll get another episode. Fellas, feel free at any time if you have something important to interject, please do on the development. Otherwise, I kind of do want to speed through. So here I go. Pokemon was originally the concept was designed and developed by a person named Satoshi Tajiri. He originally pitched the concept of Pokemon to Nintendo staff in 1990 and was met with skepticism, so much to the point where he ended up pitching this around to different video game companies for years before there was any actual interest. Eventually, Sajiro Miyamoto, Mr. Nintendo himself, saw great potential in the idea and convinced the company to go ahead with the project. Just in case anybody doesn't know it out there, the initial concept for Pokemon, it's really interesting to me. It's a lot like Miyamoto's genesis for the Zelda series that came from him exploring caves in his childhood and going on imaginary adventures. Tajiri got the idea for Pokemon because he would, explore outside in his home and became a bit of a bug catcher himself. And the idea stemmed not only from, him going out and like catching bugs and observing insects and animals, but there was a lot of heavy inspiration from the urbanization taking place in the town where he lived, and where the insect population began to decline. Tajiri noticed that at the time kids now played in their homes instead of outside. Sounds like a very much a boomer observation, which is just the way things are. And he came up with the idea of a video game. Originally the series, and there's so much more information you can get about this, I'm sort of blazing through it, was developed as a Capsule Monsters, kind of reminiscent of like Capsule Corp, honestly, from Dragon Ball Z. I know we got some DBZ heads here on this episode.
Yes.
Long story short is that eventually got the green light from Nintendo, and Miyamoto sort of treated Tajiri as one of his many mentees. And the series finally came to be initially as Pokemon Red and Green. It's kind of the, I don't know, Jeremy, you tell me. It really reminds me of the Doki Doki Panic of it all. That it's like, oh, did you know this?
Oh, yeah, that's like a big one. And then they like capitalize it on it later for like the GBA remakes or whatever. But yeah, that was always a big thing. Like, I'm sure we'll get into this during the program, but like, so many schoolyard rumors spread about this game in so many different directions. But I remember a big one being like, what is included in Pokemon Green in Japan? And then kids just making shit up, like,
Yes. I mean, it was a definite golden era for that sort of fertile ground for rumors, speculation.
Yeah.
And these games were perfect for it because not only was there so much in them, but they were, as we've talked about, the bugginess of them were so buggy that people would discover things by accident that they would just that weren't intentional by the games.
Right.
Create a lot of excitement.
Do we know like green and blue, they're basically the same? Is that true?
Actually, it's not. So the original games were Pokemon Red and Green, as I was saying. But when Pokemon Blue came out, that was a brand new game in Japan 2 years later. And then the original release of Pokemon Red and Blue outside of there were basically Pokemon Blue in Japan. It's just turned into Red and Blue. The sprites are different from the original Red and Green to the Red and Blue.
So the North American Red is not the same as the Japanese Red.
Right.
I have a story about this from my trip to Japan, which is that even though Yellow was the first I got, I did I got Red later and played that like crazy, but I knew about it. I knew that the three were Yellow, Red, and Blue. And I was in Tokyo walking around with my mom and I saw Pokemon Green in a store. And I begged her to let me get it and she wouldn't. and her logic was, you don't speak Japanese.
You can't even read it, Nick.
And I was like, please, I know that this
You get on both knees and beg?
I did.
Man, and that didn't do it?
No. But the other thing from Japan, while it's top of mind, I bought a pack of Pokemon cards there.
Ooh.
And in that pack was Steelix. And this was 1999 before Gold and Silver came out. Wow. So I had this card in Japanese with a Pokemon. I didn't know what it was. And I felt like I returned to America with hidden knowledge.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It should be known too that, or I guess we should note that like the internet is like kind of still in its infancy.
Yeah.
And is how we kind of know it today. And like I would be on message boards and forums and stuff, like trying to like look at new Pokemon sprites, you know, during through 1999. But like if this was to happen today, we would just know everything. Like yes. Everything would just it would be on Kotaku front page. Like, and would Steelix be like, announced.
It would be like a simultaneous international release, almost guaranteed. Right. Where this was 2 years between the release of Red and Green in Japan in 96, and then Red and Blue internationally in 1998. So yeah, Pokemon Yellow would eventually come out, which again, we're going to be cut. This is part of our series because it's Gen 1, would come out in 1999. So
want to feel old?
Want to feel old? Again, no, don't take my youth from me. But that's really all I have as far as the table setting goes. This game functions as an RPG. It's a turn-based JRPG essentially, but it's a monster-catching game. So you are catching different monsters, as we know, and using them as your party to however you want to, really. But that's really it that I have for the table setting. Folks, did you have any other table setting? Anybody here before we finally break into our adventure in Pallet Town?
Yeah, I do one last thing. Basically, like, and I did forget to say this in my, like, this is like why I was also so insatiable with Pokemon, like why I wanted it so bad and like couldn't get enough. Like, Pokemon is a new kind of video game when it comes out. Like, that can't be understated enough. Like, in the same way that, like, you imagine, like, the very first Mario game is even not even a new kind of game because we've had side-scrolling adventure games before. Like, Pokemon is a whole new kind of experience that we just have never seen. Those types of games seem to catch on, like, either they die on their on their feet or they catch on like wildfires, like you know, in the same way that, like, you know, Dark Souls is like a modern example of that, just like a different thing altogether. You've never played something like this before.
Yeah, it would have been like the first, like, sort of, I guess, Tony Hawk game, like extreme sports game sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean Tony Hawk, like the idea of like combining like the rhythm game with the sports game with like this attitude or something. Like, but Pokemon is like, it had so much built into its DNA that looking back, it seems almost like it was developed in a lab by the guy from Mad Men or something. It was like, we're going to let you collect things. They're going to be super cute, but some of them are going to be badass. So we actually like have broadened out our age range that people are going to enjoy this for. We're going to connect it to McDonald's toys and an anime and like a cart. Like, it was just, it's just like, it was like, I don't know. You think about companies like Disney, right? And like, I mean, now Nintendo very much feels to me like a Disney of company, but they didn't always. And they definitely didn't back in the late 90s. Nintendo very much felt like they were figuring it out. In fact, the Nintendo 64 was like a huge failure for them in a lot of ways. Pokemon was the property that kept them afloat for these trying years, and definitely through the aughts, because as soon as the GameCube came out, it was like, nope, that's not working either. It was their handhelds, and a lot of that, you know, comes down to Pokemon. So I guess when I was playing it today or yesterday, I was like thinking about that. I was just like, wow.
You know what I just thought of with your Disney comparison? Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Goofy, but also Mickey Mouse. He's a mouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the name. Pikachu. It's a mouse.
It's in the name.
Both. It's in the name. It's the both are the big mascots for,
yeah,
for each other's properties. Isn't
big mascots.
It's it. They're the mouse-scots. Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
mouse-scots in honor.
And like that's another. And like we just don't have enough time. But like because I guess this Games Club is about the games. It's about Gen 1, Red, Blue, and Yellow. Right. It's not about Pokemon as a IP.
Yes, but like absolutely.
The whole thing with Pikachu is absolutely crazy fascinating. That thing was never supposed to be the icon for Pokemon. Its original sprite is hilariously chubby. They do a complete redesign. They connect it to the anime in this crazy way. And that
Hollywood,
like,
they made it Hollywood.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They gave Pikachu an eating disorder, gave him
it
a cute
Chris Pratt. It really comes into its own. Looking ripped.
But it's crazy. Yeah.
Pikachu's barely in it and hard to find in it too. I could easily have missed it. Then all of a sudden it's so popular that Yellow is designed around that Pokemon in the anime.
It was easy for me to catch, by the way.
And
really?
Also, it has been the same voice actor, a woman, since the anime.
All right, easy.
In the game.
Yeah. 5% chance of catching Pikachu in one area of Pokemon Red and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's
basically like
interesting. I found
battles.
One right away.
I mean, we'll get to that because that section's coming up next episode, but it's essentially, takes 20 battles to theoretically run into one.
Yeah.
I
need you guys to tell me where this is.
Okay. We will.
I would be pissed
when we get there.
Next episode, though. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, I think that for me really does a good job of like closing out sort of just like not just the how this game was developed, but also like what it was and what it meant at the time and kind of like, you know,
yeah, absolutely. Well, let's kick off our journey, why don't we, fellas, and let's get into the games. What I want to begin with first, and we're going to kind of zip through this because we're really only touching on our adventure in Pallet Town here, is what versions we're playing, which I guess we can get to when we talk about what Pokemon we select as well. But what I want to start with first is just getting into Pallet Town and the way actually turning on the game itself. And I probably have a sickness, but truly just first turning on the game, seeing the Game Freak logo, and then the initial battle. You know, if you're playing Red and Blue, between Gengar and then I think it's a Nidorino or a Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff
remains just iconic to me. I don't know if anyone had anything to say about that. I love it.
It's iconic. It was so iconic that is the first shot of the anime as well.
Yeah.
Yes. And they begin it like you're watching a Game Boy screen. It might even say Game Boy on the screen. And then it just morphs into that first fight of Nidorino versus Gengar in some big Pokemon battle.
I think that Nidorino is Pokemon Red and Jigglypuff is Pokemon Blue, which is like, is it true that Pokemon Blue is at all easier than Pokemon Red? That one is easier than the other? Somebody said that one time and it really stuck with me, but. That seems to also conclude that as well, that like this is the Jigglypuff version, this is the Nidorino version.
The only thing that would make it easier is if you're going off the cover on which starter Pokemon to choose, then Squirtle makes the first gym incredibly easy, whereas Charmander is the hardest, but still not that hard.
Right.
I wanted to say, and I had such a good point here that I'm not
turning on the game.
Officer Jenny, was it
Mickey Mouse?
Pokemon Red is considered the canon game. You guys know about that?
Oh, how so? I didn't know that.
No, what are you talking about?
Because when we get to the default name screen, Red is the name that's pre-selected for you if you're playing Red, whereas Blue becomes the rival. And then they canonized that in Gold and Silver. When you return to Kanto, Blue is the name of the rival running the gym, and Red is the trainer who's won the championship.
And imagine my disappointment when I turn on my new save of Pokemon Yellow and it defaults to his name being Yellow.
Yeah. Yes. So it's, I think it's in Red or in Yellow, it's like Red / Yellow, Ash or Jack are like your three options.
And then in Blue, it's Blue, Gary and John, which also leads to the canonization for me because they chose Ash as the name in the anime and Gary as the name of the rival.
Right. Yes.
I chose a different name for my rival, but
I believe that the Japanese versions, the two of the name options are either Shigeru or Satoshi are two of the options. But anyway, I still like have a nostalgia as well for like Prof Oak, just sort of introducing the world of Pokemon to you and his little sprite. And this is, I think, the only time in the game you see the sprite, the big sprite of Prof Oak.
Right. And I think you can kind of tell in the sort of opening cinematic, it's supposed to be conveyed that he's like waking you up, like you fell asleep in his lab and he's like waking you up.
Are you a boy or girl? Wake up.
It almost honestly to me, it really feels like he's almost like speaking to you in a dream to
dream-like,
wake you up.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you wake up in your room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. And there's no also notably like no gender choosing in Pokemon,
just a boy.
Red, Blue and Yellow. So there's no
he's like, what's up, boy?
Wait a minute. Are we not gonna say which versions we're playing?
I guess we can do it. Nick, what are you playing?
Having played Red and Yellow extensively, I am choosing Blue.
Nice.
I'm a Blue boy as well. I recently got a cart at a Game Realms retro swap. So here's my little copy of Blue that I'm playing on the pocket.
So cool.
July.
I'm doing Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
And I think you're also playing a Game Boy version. Which one?
And I'm playing Blue as well. I'm playing both of them at the same time.
Oh my gosh, we got three Blue boys. Jeremy?
Yellow for me. I've played both Red and Blue extensively up until this point, so I really wanted to at least try something that I hadn't seen before.
I love it. McCaller?
I might as well be doing a track with Method Man. I'm such a Red Man.
Ooh! That's good.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was just thinking, I think if we had just Blue and Yellow, I don't think we could get all the Pokemon.
You can't.
It's
there
specifically
are still
that,
a few exclusives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Ty Lore.
I, of course, have played Blue and Yellow and Let's Go Eevee. So I'm playing Red. Ooh. And also...
Uh-oh.
Fire Red.
Simultaneously?
I have mimicked everything on both, which is why I said, are you a boy or girl? Because in Fire Red, they do make you choose.
Oh, that's
a freaking ditto.
Mr. Mime over ditto. Here. Yeah.
Mr. Ditto.
That's fantastic. So I guess other takeaways here from this game is things I always remember at the beginning is that there's a potion in your PC. I don't know how I learned it, but at some point I learned it. So now I always beeline for my PC. I get that potion because it can come in handy in that first battle. And I love that you got a little Super Nintendo set up in your room. Mm-hmm. Tyler, what's in the room in Fire Red and Leaf Green?
Do you know what? I forget that there's an I didn't look.
Oh.
What the
I should
hell?
Look.
Turn it on right now.
Well, my save is a little farther. It's I'm up. I don't want to say where I'm at.
I'm right now.
If we're being very thorough about this,
please.
We did forget that before any of this, you can select new game or options.
Gosh.
And in options, you may want to turn that tech speed up to fast.
I put slow.
Okay. Well. Good luck.
Jeremy, you bring up something important. That's great. You can also, you do have the option to set your battles to set where like you don't have the option to change your Pokemon. They won't tell you like trainer's about to use an Ekans. Would you like to switch Pokemon? So if you want an extra difficulty spike, you could do that. But guys, I sped past even a more important thing is that they ask you what you want to name yourselves. I got to know. I'll start with mine. I just went with my usual name, which this is the first game where I came up with my username, Cons. So I'm just Cons.
Wow. Is that because there are not enough letters for Connor?
You can actually select up to like 6 letters, I think, or more than that. But I did do that in older games. That's why I used Cons before. So I chose Cons, and then you get to select the name of your rival, Oak's grandson that he always forgets. And folks, I've often done stuff like... Like I remember growing up, I would choose a kid's name in class I didn't like or who was mean. I won't say their name now. But then I would also later in life choose like butt or ass or fart. But now, guys, I figured I'm just going to stand up for the world. And I named my rival Fascism.
Wow. That's so...
Aren't I so honorable for that?
Yeah. And if it, there was enough letters for fascism.
There's enough letters for fascism.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Jeremy, how about you? What's your name? What'd you name your rival?
Well, you know, yellow is a particular thing. It's a particular beast. Yeah. So, you know, canonically, I kind of wanted to just like, you know, kind of fit in with what's going on with the story beats of that. So I'm Ash and Gary.
Ooh, I love it. Canonical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Nick?
Quick update, the video game console in Generation 3, FireRed, is the original NES.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh.
No way.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Weird? Why would it go backwards when they move forward in the updating? It should have been a GameCube.
Okay. Okay, Mr. No Pokemon.
Is it a GameCube ever, I wonder?
Maybe in like, maybe Ruby and Sapphire?
That sounds right. So I used to name my character Nick, or sometimes Nicky C, or sometimes I used to go by Kick Nastanza for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Although I had to do KN because that was too many characters. This time I wanted to take the game really seriously, so I named my character Daddy, and I named my rival Mommy.
Oh, I love it. July, how about you?
My character's name is Stuber, and my rival's name is Cancel Culture.
Good. July, you and Thank I are like sort of diametric opposites almost, but yeah. We're kind of similar in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. Tyler?
Yes, I am, of course, Tylar. Named after my Final Fantasy 14 character.
Mm. Oh, yes!
Yes! And my rival is, of course, Nick.
Of Ooh. Course. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. In both games, too.
Nick, they're mirrored. I forgot what you named yours, your rival.
Mommy.
Mommy, your daddy and mommy. And then McCaller, how about you?
I did a similar thing to Tyler, although I forgot my rival isn't on the podcast. My character's name is Mikey. My rival's name is Roxy.
That's good.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You hear that, Roxy, out there listening to this?
Roxy just texted me. Apparently, she is playing along with the show. She named her character Chris D'Elia, and she named the rival his victims.
Oh, my God.
That's so unlike Roxy. But I
wish
she could
elaborate on the show why she did that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's really weird.
The Outsiders, the movie, is playing on your TV at home.
Is it The Outsiders?
Wait, no. What is
Stand
it?
By Me?
Thank you. Stand by Me.
On the railroad track.
Yeah,
the Outsiders would be sick if they're like, then Tom Cruise is here with a switchblade.
I was like, man, I had that movie way wrong.
Yeah, in blue it's Outsiders, in red it's Stand by Me. And you talk to your mom, and it's been a joke for years, but how like there's one bedroom and it's yours, and your mom just like lives in the living room.
Yeah, she sleeps in the oven.
Yeah. Poor mommy.
She keeps saying like the oven's so hot.
Did anyone leave and try to go to the lab first before going into the tall grass?
That's what they try to get you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you go to Oak's
talk
lab.
Talk to the scientists.
You talk to the aides and no one's there. You can even go to your rival's house and his nice sister there, who's just an absolute sweetheart.
She's so lovely. I love her.
Honestly. Yeah. Probably had a crush on her growing up.
Yeah, I mean, she's no Nurse Jenny.
In my head, canon, like Gary's parents went off to war and were both killed by like I don't know, Charizards or something. And and like that's why Gary's such an asshole, because he's being like raised by his like sister, and he's, you know, got
that's
a
like a
shoulder.
Fan theory.
I love that theory, actually.
Is there's that like, really a fan theory?
There's
that's
an really extensive good theory. Fan theory about the history of Pokemon, and that it does take place in the future after global war, and the world is like remained the same, but sort of I Am Legended a little bit, where like new creatures are sprouting up.
I was gonna say, they actually, there was a war, and it is touched on by a character later in this game that we will all have to encounter. So there's a lot to that.
Yeah, I thought that could be a good thing to meditate on really quick, is like the idea of like the world of this, like that. First of all, it's unusual in a myriad of ways, one of which is like children are sent off alone to go adventure alone.
Yes.
Ash is only 7 years old, let's be honest.
Hey, Tyler, did the old man in that video talk about this?
I also world uncle? To me feels a lot like Dragon Ball, actually. Like,
sure.
Like Dragon Ball, I think they took a lot
from Dragon Ball. Dragon Pokeball. Ball.
Right. Yeah. The idea of Dragon Ball is basically like we're in the future, but it's also the past. Like all time periods have converged into this one.
Time's a flat circle.
Yeah. And Pokemon very much feels that way, because in a lot of ways it's very rustic. But on the other, in some ways, there's like technology that's advanced quite a bit. So
sure. And there's dinosaurs, and there's
dinosaurs running around. And very strange. And then the other most unusual thing I guess we should mention is that the entire world of Pokemon revolves around, you guessed it, Pokemon. No one is allowed to have any other interests. No one likes anything else besides Pokemon, and everyone can only talk about Pokemon.
This bookshelf is full of Pokemon books, or books about Pokemon.
Right.
It's got that Harry Potter vibe where it's just like, when are these people learning math?
Yeah. But at least in Harry Potter, the Muggles were out doing like business in England. In this world, there is no anybody else. It is just like towns of four buildings and three people. And
one of them is the Pokemon building. Yeah, the other buildings sell Pokemon stuff.
Yeah. I used to think this would be like a utopia. But now when I think about it, I'm like, I don't know. Something sick's going on here.
More like a Zootopia.
Probably.
A lot closer, that's for sure. There's so many like weird things that if you think about it, will get even crazier just about this series, especially these first games, which are like a literal first try on the series. And it's just really fun to get into those fan theories as well. Anyway, you either go to you wander around. Eventually, if you wander into the tall grass, there that freaking professor shows up. Oak comes and gets you, and he tells you it's dangerous to wander into the tall grass. And then he brings you back to his lab, where eventually he tells you like it's dangerous to go. He's looking for someone to help him with his Pokemon research, basically, and he gives you the option to take one of three Pokemon.
He clearly likes you more than his freaking deadbeat nephew.
It honestly made me really upset.
Nick.
He can't even remember.
He does seem to hate this kid who's actually part of his family. And then is he a uncle to this kid, or is he the grandfather?
Grandpa. He didn't even remember his own name.
Yeah.
It's messed up. It made me really sad.
Like, obviously, it's so that you can name him, but you'd think if he did annoy him this much, he would very much remember exactly who he is and stuff. But
fun fact, Nintendo at one point said if Professor Oak was in live action, they'd want him to be played by Robin Williams.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yep. That's good.
I think he'd probably do too much with it, but I'd like to see it.
Probably. I mean, the anime Oak is like more eccentric than I remember, having like watched a little bit of the series this week.
Wants to hook up with Ash's mom.
Dude, can't blame him at all.
And he kind of did hook up with Ash's mom in some stories I read online, actually.
Hey, that's funny. He hooked up with her in some stories I wrote.
Yeah, those stories were really scary.
What would you do if you realized that you read a lot of erotic fiction from your that your friend wrote on accident?
Depends if it's about Sonic or not.
It is.
I like it.
So folks, a couple things here is that you get to choose your Pokemon. This is like a huge thing in the series. It sets up the rock, paper, scissors of it all. Because, you know, the whole thing revolves around catching Pokemon, battling them. There are type differences that allow you advantages, disadvantages, different battle mechanics make themselves known. But it was a hard time for me to make a choice this go around. I don't think I'm going to end up using my spoiler alert, my starter on my final team that I have. Cause I've played this game so many times that I personally like to branch out and use different ones. But I want to hear,
but that's your first bud. You're going to abandon the first guy, little guy.
You know, I've never done that. In every Pokemon I've ever played, I've never gotten, like, my starter stays with me to the end, and usually just because it's so high level, you know,
right? He's doing more battles, right? He's got more battle experience.
But that's interesting.
I think I've just been playing it for so long that I found so many I just needed different ways to play it,
right? Gotta get that Taurus in there.
You got which I did on my literal last playthrough. I had a Taurus, and it
gotta get
ass.
That original Jinx in there.
Sadly on my last playthrough as well on my team.
We should watch the banned episodes of Pokemon. Because Taurus is one.
Oh, really?
That's a big one. Yeah, because a cowboy fires guns at Ash in the episode.
It's in that's the
Ash violently dies.
But anyway, folks, let's get into our three options here. Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle, the iconic starters. I mean, there's three of the most famous Pokemon to this day. And I want to know who everyone went with and if there was any other takeaways they had. I this playthrough started with Charmander. But I will say Bulbasaur is my personal favorite Pokemon. But I just, I wanted to switch it up. So Charmander. And I'll even tell you right now, we're going to go over this later. I named him Lighter. Like, he's my little lighter that can set things on fire. Jeremy, you started with Pikachu because you try to choose Eevee and Gary doesn't let you.
Yeah, right. Again, yellow, red, blue, we're all going to have a little different experiences as we go through these games. It's going to be very fun. Pikachu is given to you if you play Pokemon Yellow right away. Interestingly enough, you cannot catch another Pikachu in the duration of the game, and you cannot evolve your Pikachu into a Raichu. So Raichu and any other Pikachus are off limits for me. But yeah, good news though, all three starters are collectible in the game.
Yeah,
they get them in that version.
Deftly avoid the being able to choose problem.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. July, who'd you end up starting with?
I went with this Pokemon because they had me at Squirt. I went Squirtle.
Right.
Gorgeous. Nick?
Here's the thing. When I was little, this was an easy choice. When I had red, it was Charmander. Charmander's the coolest. He's the other Pokemon that Ash is known for having, besides Pikachu, is Charizard. So it used to be easy, but as these games progressed, I started to agonize over these decisions. And a lot of the times I would go with Bulbasaur because he's Pokemon number one in the Pokedex. But this time, for my first playthrough of Blue, I'm going off the cover art, so I picked Squirtle. And I almost named him Squirty, but then I decided not to.
I was thinking about it too. This is essentially a class choice in an RPG up top. And class in this game is a lot different. You know, types are their own thing, but it struck me this time that it is like you're choosing your RPG class up top.
Yeah. And to Nick's point, you're also choosing like easy, medium, or hard.
You are. Absolutely. Yeah. Schnupp, how about you? Who'd you go with?
I never picked a Charmander before. So I picked a Charmander.
Hey.
Didn't nickname him anything because, like you, Connor, I will be dumping his ass.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
I want to say, just for the record,
you had your time, but go on.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
No, you can go.
Blastoise is actually the worst.
Statistically?
Yeah. And is the only one with only one type, because Charizard is fire and flying, and Venusaur is grass and poison.
That's right. And McCaller, who'd you go with, pal?
You know, I had one of these things where I'm like, I can't believe this is a choice that people make. Like, it seems so obvious to me. There's a weird little plant creature. There's a wet turtle boy. And then there's a dragon. Like, it just feels like,
yeah.
What? Why is this a choice? So, yeah, I went Charmander. He's my favorite. He's cool and fire.
Knowing this makes me want to restart my game and go with Bulbasaur, because there's no Bulbasaur representation. I thought for sure someone would choose that, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
I was close.
We'll see what Fire Red gives me. Haven't looked up if I can get him, but I will be dumping Charmander's ass.
Bulbasaur was my first Pokemon choice for my first game.
Oh. Same.
Yeah.
I used to, that was my first Pokemon shirt, was just Pokemon, and it just had a picture of Bulbasaur. Yeah. Heather Gray.
Wow. Ooh. And Connor, I rank Bulbasaur super high. I have never actually picked a favorite. It might also be Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur, I love it. I've got like a picture up here of me. I'll send you guys a picture
with Bulbasaur.
It's literally an art that was made of me as a gym leader.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
Oh yeah, McCaller. I think I agree with you that like Charizard's also like on a lot of marketing stuff for Pokemon, so he like looks very canonically like canonical, but there's something about like being a longtime Pokemon fan where I really kind of. I'm not like anti Pokemon that look like real world animals or like animals that we have in other fiction, but but dragons, ones that look like just dogs. I'm usually like, no, I need something. Come on.
Weird,
I need to
get weird.
Yeah. Yeah. We need another draft on this dog here. Give him
I'm not playing Nintendogs.
Give him bugs for teeth or something. And I'm in.
on that point. Something that's happened to the Pokemon franchise over time is it started to look worse. There are like multiple video essays on YouTube about this, but so it's even different between Red and Blue and Yellow, where Yellow, they all look a little more anime, just a little bit, but enough. Pokemon used to be drawn with sharper lines, and they've become rounded over time. So every generation looks a little cartoonier and a little kiddier, and so I love these sprites from these first games.
Yeah, well, I want to even say I love the sprites, and the original artwork by Ken Sugimori are just so endearing to me, and I love them so much. I drew them so much as a kid, and even looking back at like the sprites in Green was like a fun exercise because it's free. It just looks so freaky compared to Red and Blue. And then, of course, Yellow is very much closer to the anime. Okay, folks, we choose our Pokemon. Your rival always chooses the Pokemon that's stronger, that has a type advantage, actually, against yours. I don't really have anything to note here because you do an immediate battle. You beat him. My only thing of note is that in my battle beating Squirtle, I got 69 experience points.
Hey,
which I thought was nice.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Anything to note in this battle? I do have one thing, but I want to leave it open for everyone else before we move.
Something kind of interesting in Pokemon Yellow for folks who don't know, just is that like so your Gary has to pick an Eevee. That's the only option he has. And depending on how you actually do in the battle with Gary depends on how he evolves his Eevee.
Yes.
So if you lose the battle, he evolves it to a water type. And I guess what's happening there is like water is weak to light or to thunder or whatever. So that it's like the game's like, oh, we need to knock down the difficulty of this. So because Pikachu could just destroy that Vaporeon later. But if you win both times, he becomes the electric type. And if you win the battle and then lose or skip the next one, he goes fire. It's just kind of it's better if you lose, but you don't get the experience, and early on you kind of want that experience. And
it's
honestly
an immediate level up.
I'm not afraid of having like I'll have a rock type by the time I fight him when he's a Jolteon or whatever, so
it's not that hard to lose or to win. But I've lost before.
Oh, totally.
I just remembered that. Not this time. I don't know if I've ever lost in Red. But I've lost in yellow and I've fought that Vaporeon.
I'll tell you guys, I knew about this. I knew that if you lose, it helps you in that way. And so that's why I lost this time.
Nice.
I lost bad. And I didn't know that. I didn't know anything. I was
did you really lose? Like
I did really lose. Yeah.
Really funny.
I kind of didn't know what I was doing. I was pushing buttons. Yeah.
But you're playing red, right?
Yeah.
What does he say when you lose?
I don't remember. I feel like in my head, they just said nothing. They were all embarrassed for me and they were just like, we'll move on. And then I thought I was going to have to replay it. I thought if I had to keep playing him until I won, but they were just like, all right, well, goodbye. Enjoy your adventure.
I think through the rest of the game, though, you do have to defeat him to move on. But Jeremy did refer to the one optional battle that's coming up in the next episode. Against him that you can choose or not choose to go find. It's off the beaten path. Folks, the one last thing I wanted to add for that before we wrap up is that Gary, if you beat him, your rival says something along the lines of, always made me feel bad because he says, I chose the wrong Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like, oh no, he is just like repeating the history of his family of being mean and bad, and he's hurt people, you know.
Yeah, he's like the Dudley Dursley or whatever of the Pokemon universe, and that he's like, first of all, he bullied me out of the Pokemon I wanted, and then he gets upset that he picks the wrong one, and I'm just like, hit the bricks, pal. You gotta
folks...
and of course, wait a minute, one more additional Pokemon Yellow thing,
please.
The whole bit with Pokemon Yellow, the most exciting thing about it, which ages like milk, kind of, is that like Pikachu will jump out of the Pokeball and follow you around the entire game if you're playing Pokemon Yellow. So he's always with you. He's like running behind you. You can turn around and interact with him. That's actually how I think you up your like friendship with him or whatever. Mm. And it's pretty cute for a while. The only thing that sucks, I think the thing that sucks the most about it is like when you're grinding out in some of these forests, you want to like hook around and make like trails and stuff. And every time you turn around to face Pikachu, your whole character just stops dead in his tracks. And then you have to like click it again to get him to like, it creates inertia or whatever. So, anyway,
that's part of my complaints about the newer ones though. Why is that technology existed since Pokemon Yellow and then it took so long for it to come back where a Pokemon's following you?
Yeah. And I will say that even though the Pokemon follows you in Scarlet and Violet, it kind of sucks. Like it doesn't like they retreat to their Pokeball very fast. They don't follow you super closely. It's not a great mechanic, but yeah, Pokemon Yellow is all about Pikachu friendship.
I think the way you do upgrade your relationship is by not letting Pikachu faint in battle, by giving him items, I want to say, like potions and stuff that it likes it and it'll start to interact differently.
Yeah, give him money.
It's very greedy. Folks, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, that's going to do it for our first episode of the Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow Games
Club. Wow.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up here really quick. We will be back next week where we go through Viridian City and through Viridian Forest. We won't be talking about Pewter City in the next episode, but we'll get through all of that. July Diaz, thank you for being here. What do you want to plug on your way out?
Nothing at all. Thanks for having me.
Are you sure? Not a single thing?
Nope.
Wow, you've changed. Jeremy Schmidt.
Oh, just thank you for
just trying to move this along.
Thank you for subscribing to the Patreon. We love you. We couldn't do it without you. This is super exciting. It's like it's finally here, guys. I can't believe it. We talked about it for so long. A lot of tears were shed. A lot of blood was shed, and now we're sitting here talking Mon, baby.
It's exciting times. Nick Costanza.
When you read the sign in Pallet Town, it says, shades of your journey await. And so too shall we journey forth into the Pokemon Games Club. I want to thank all of you for being here. And I want to promote the Roast of Mario, the Video Games of Comedy Show episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Tyler Schnupp.
Schnup69, Instagram and Twitter. I got to do all the plugs now, Nick. Reactivators, the show I do with Nick. Bonk Boys, the show Nick and I do on the Patreon only. That's it.
Killer. And then Michael McCaller.
Yeah, listen to Reactivators, the show Tyler does with Nick, and Bonk Boys, the Patreon show.
Wow. And you can find me.
Am I the asshole now?
Sadly, it's turned like that. You can find me, Connor McCabe, on social media, Connor_McCabe. Check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/consiscool69, where I'm going to be playing a ton of Pokemon Stadium the next couple months and probably getting really dejected by how hard that game is. So come follow me there. And thank you again so much to all of our DJ Toads who supported us to make this Pokemon Games Club happen. And if you're listening again in the future, come find us wherever we are at Super NPC Radio and social platforms. Find our podcasts at the Super NPC Games Club and listen to my show, Call Me By Your Game, wherever you get your podcast. That'll do it for the first episode of the Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow Games Club. We will see you on the next one.